Jesus. And as we come to this chapter, we find Joseph in a prison. Last time, when we ended the Bible study in the chapter 39, it said, the last verse over says, the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. You know, so if you look at the first six verses of chapter 39, as Joseph was going through the trial in the Potiphar's house as a slave, the Lord was with him. And then at the end, when Joseph finds himself in a prison, again, we read it three times, the Lord was with him. And wherever he went, he prospered, because it is the Lord who prospers us. And we looked at that portion of the scripture pretty well. Now, as we come to this Genesis chapter 40, I want to remind you at this time. In this chapter, Joseph is 28 years of age, okay? Because next chapter we will see that he will be elevated to the second in command under Pharaoh in Egypt. And when that happens, he's 30 years of age, exactly the same age as when Jesus started his ministry, right? If you look at the Levitical law, the rabbi, they had to be at the age of 30 when they started their service. You could not start it before that. And we see that here in Joseph. So he's 28 years old. If you remember, when he was sold into slavery a couple of chapters back, he was 17 years of age. He was 17 years old. Okay, so think about it. For 13 years, Joseph was either in a pit, he was either a slave, or he was in a prison. Okay, and so today, the word that I want to give you is time. You know, in the times that we live in, time is very valuable, right? Nobody wants to waste time. Although we waste a lot of time on social media and a lot of other entertainment stuff, right? But the time is at a premium. You know, if you ask anybody, can you do this? Their first answer is, I'm busy, right? Or I have something to do. Our whole life always revolves around time, right? Time. We are always stressed about the time. Oh, if I can just get a little bit more time. Here we see that 13 years of Joseph's life, all right, is spent as a slave or a prisoner. Now, we may look at that as a waste of time. How many of us would look at that as a waste of time? That, you know what, I could have been doing something. I had potential. My father recognized the potential in me. You know, I was doing all this work. I know I am smart. God gave me these dreams, that I can, that I saw and that I can interpret the dreams, right? But instead, God has him as a slave and as a prisoner, right? How many of us in that situation would be upset with God or would be complaining with God? All right, we would be complaining to God. I think many of us would be complaining to God that why am I being wasted away, right? And once again, I want to remind you, I believe I spoke to you about this either last week or the week before, right? Wherever God has, whatever service that you are doing, at the place where God has you, whatever the ministry God has given you, it is not being wasted away. You know, we are so eager, so many times we are so eager to just serve and just be all gung-ho and we want to lead these big ministries instead of letting God work on us, prepare us for what is to come next. You know, what is to come next? Sometimes God throws us into a fire. You know, I can think of right before the COVID, March 2020. You know, me and Brother Ashish had a chance of going to India on a mission trip, right? And I guess God was preparing us, right? Because we had a heart to go, first of all. We didn't know what to expect, right? But then there was one Sunday and there was a line. I believe I have told you guys this. There was a line of people waiting to be prayed over, right? And then we had to move out of our comfort zone. And sometimes God throws you in a fire. You know, I speak of Brother Ashes, right? He doesn't even, at that time, he didn't even like to pray in Gujarati. And suddenly, he found himself praying in Hindi. You know, and we all know how well he speaks Hindi. But God, you know, in his all mercies, right, saw him through on that. So sometimes God puts you in that position. But many times, we are in a position of Joseph, where God is preparing you. You know, you might only be teaching 5 Sunday school kids, but take that as a preparation for what God is going to do later on. Amen. You know, too often, you know, especially you see this with young guys, you know, we are not so young anymore, but you know, they come into the church, sometimes they have this revelation, and they want to change everything. Everything that is going on, they want to change everything and do it their way. Because now they have some new revelation. Suddenly they have a little knowledge. And you know, as the saying goes, a little knowledge is very, very dangerous. And you know, we often find that. I remember a few years ago when I was involved with the church and I was in a leadership position, this particular guy came. And I guess he, you know, it was a particularly a good week. Maybe he thought he was getting closer to God. He had this huge plan to teach the Sunday school kids, not in a new and a innovative way, you know. And I told him, I said, first, why don't you show up to the Sunday school couple of Sundays? You know, guess what happened? By the time the third Sunday rolled around, he was nowhere to be found, you know, because there is something to be said about God preparing you, saying true, saying faithful, you know, one of the policies that we have in the church that I go to is if somebody says that I want to be in a leadership, they start with the broom. They hand up a broom. Here's the broom. Start. Where do you want to be? Where do you want to work? How do you want to volunteer? Right? Because too often when people come in and they say I want to be used for God or be used in a ministry, their notion is okay. I want to give sermons. I want to teach. You know, I want to be, I have that kind of a very visible leadership. Here, God is preparing Joseph to be the second in command, right? And he is locked up in a prison, okay? And so today, as we go through this Bible study, I want to ask you this question. What prison are you in today? You know, some of us are in a prison of an addiction. Some of us are in a prison of a bad marriage, right? Some of us might be in a prison of a tough financial situation. Whatever your prison is, right? Think about it. As we read this chapter 40, Joseph is 28 years of age. In 2 years, he is going to be promoted to the second in command. Could it be where God has you today that he's about to promote you to something very, very big? All you need to do is stay true to God and be faithful. You know, and this is a chapter that will flow very quickly. It's a short chapter. Let's look at it together. There are some amazing lessons in there, and we'll tie it all up at the end. It says, verse 1, it came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt, and Pharaoh was angry with his 2 officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in a custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined, and the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, so they were in the custody for a while. Okay? And what I want to start out by saying is, you know, God's plan is perfect plan. And regardless of what happens, everything is going to work according to God's plan. Okay? How was Joseph going to show his talent of reading the dreams, interpreting the dreams? It did not happen in the palace. It happened here in the prison. Right? This baker and the butler, for some reason, find them on the wrong side of Pharaoh's liking. Right? Either the Pharaoh was mad or the butler and the baker were bad. The Bible doesn't tell us what was that they did that put them in the prison. But here we see Joseph, in the plan of God, is in the same prison, the Pharaoh's prison. You know, there's a two different kind of a prison. One was for a common criminal, and the one was for like Pharaohs, those who, you know, are, in another word, what we call is, in our days, right? It's like a blue collar crimes, right? It was that kind of a prison. That's what we are looking at over here, right? An important thing that I want you to see here, right? And I know a lot of you, as I look around, all of you are involved in a church, and you are serving your church wherever you are, right? Look what it says in verse 4. It says, "And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them." Who was in charge? As we read at the end of the chapter 39, the captain of the prison had put Joseph in charge of everything. He was not even taking care of anything, right? So Joseph was the guy as far as the prison goes. Am I correct? Do we understand that, right? But look what it says over here. "And he served them." Who is he serving? He's serving the baker and the butler, two people who just walked into the prison, right? They were probably at the very low rank at this point. They are the newcomers, right? But Joseph is serving them. Joseph is serving them, right? And when you are in a leadership position in a church, right, your role is to serve, not to be served. Too often, and you know, especially in our community, in our churches, people want to be catered to. You know, they want to get into the leadership position, and then they want people to serve them, right? And that is a sure sign. When you see a ministry, when you see a pastor who expects to be served, right, that's a red flag, right? Wherever you are worshiping, wherever you are ministering, how is the pastor acting? Is he serving with you, or does he lord over you? Here, Joseph shows us, right, that he served them. So they were in a custody for a while. We don't know how long they were in a prison together, because we don't know exactly when Joseph was put into the prison, right? But we know that he will get out in 2 years. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream. Both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with his own interpretation. And Joseph came into them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. And if you do that, you know, I'm going to give you a little homework. Do a study on that word sad in the Bible. Okay, this is it's a different kind of a sadness. This same word is used when Jonah was asked to go and minister to the people in Nineveh. Okay, it's a deep sadness, a depression. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of this Lord's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today?" And they said to him, "We each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." Okay, at this time in Egypt, right, dreams were a big deal. And interpreting them was even a bigger deal. You know, those people who can actually tell you what your dreams meant, they were in demand. Okay, they were rich, right? And these guys were like, "We are in a prison. We have no status. We have no money. Who's going to read our dreams? Who's going to read our dreams?" That's what they are asking over here, right? So look what Joseph says, right? This is an amazing answer. It says, "So Joseph said to them, 'Do not interpretation belong to God?'" Right? "Do not interpretation belong to God?" Joseph here shows us his relationship to God. He understood, right? He acknowledges at this point that God has been with him throughout all of these years. As he was in a pit, as he was in a Potiphar's house, as he's in the prison, he recognized that how he has been treated, how he has always found himself on the top, you know, how God has always promoted him, he knew it was all because of the grace of God. And that's why over here he says, "So Joseph said to them, 'Do not interpretation belong to God. Tell them to me, please.'" So he knew that God was with him. And when they tell him the dream, he was going to be able to tell them, or interpret the dream they had. What a confidence. Do we have that kind of a confidence that God is with us? You know, God is with us. Verse 9, then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, behold, in my dream, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded, it blossoms shot forth, and its cluster brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift your head and restore you to your place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me, make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. Okay, so I think this is pretty simple. Everybody understands what is taking place here, right? Just a couple of things, right? 3 days. The next dream will also be 3 days, right? How long was Jesus in the tomb before he was resurrected? 3 days, right? 3 days. What I want to draw your attention to is the word remember me, okay? When the thief who was hanging on the with Jesus, right? When he acknowledged Jesus as the king, what did he say to Jesus on the cross? Remember me, right? And I'm going to come back to this, but this is very important for us to understand. Remembering is very important. Throughout the Bible, we see, right? If you go to Genesis chapter 1, when Noah was in the ark, it says over there, God remembered him, right? Genesis chapter 9, also again, when he puts the rainbow on the sky, he says, every time I see that, I will remember, right? To Abraham, he always remembered. When we go to Genesis 19, and when God is about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, right? He looks at Lot, but it doesn't say, I remember Lot. It says, I remember my servant Abraham. Shouldn't I let him know? And throughout the Bible, I can give you another 20 examples, right, that he remembers. But the most importantly, right, when we sin, and we sin often, we fail often, we mess up often, right, and God is in his perfect authority, and he has a right to strike us down, right, and just kill us, pour his wrath on us. But what does he remember at that time? He remembers his son and his sacrifice on the cross where the blood was shed for us. And when he remembers us, he shows us grace. And here we see Joseph is telling this butler that remember me when it is well with you. Please show kindness. What is Joseph expecting? Does Joseph know that in 2 years I'm going to be the second in command? Remember, Joseph has not read Genesis chapter 41 and 42. We have read Genesis 41 and 42. He didn't know what is going to happen next. All he was hoping for is, if this guy gets out, right? And he was confident. Look at his, just by what he said, Joseph was confident about the interpretation that he gave. Because what does he say? But remember me when it is well with you. So Joseph knew that it was going to be well with him. And he said, please show kindness to me. Make a mention to Pharaoh. All Joseph was looking for was to get out of the prison, right? And prove his innocence and maybe go back to his home with his father. He did not know what to make of the two dreams he had when he was young, right? When he saw the brothers bowing down. He didn't know how all of these things were going to play out. All he knew was, I wanted to get out of here. Okay, I wanted to get out of here. And what I want to tell you guys right now is, you know what? There are a lot of uncertainty in your life. Okay, a lot of uncertainty in your life. Just trust God. He is going to work it all out. You don't need to know how he's going to do it. He's going to work it all out. Verse 16. When the chief baker saw the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I also was in my dream, and there were three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my bread. So Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you. So once the butler got his interpretation and baker heard it, right, he thought, oh yeah, this is a good thing. Now let me tell him my dream. But his dream wasn't going to turn out so well, right? He was going to he was not going to make it. You know, he was living his last 3 days on the earth, right? In the Bible, when you look at the when you look at these two dreams, right? When you look at that basket and the bread, right? That is thought of as you bringing to God your works, and you are trying to win God over through your works. Okay, in the Bible, whenever you see the birds eating, right, the birds in the Bible at most places means evil. Okay, if you remember the parable of the sower, right, what does it say over there? When the some seeds fall, the bird of the air come and they pluck it away and eat it, right? That's evil, right? If you know the parable, I think it's somewhere in the Matthew. Forgive me, I don't remember exactly where. But there is a parable of the mustard tree. And then it speaks about the birds coming. A lot of birds coming and sitting in there. That is speaking of mustard seed is the church or the faith, right? And then these evil people will penetrate the church and corrupt the church. That's what it is talking about. When we get to the Revelation, later on in the Revelation, we will see that Babylon is compared to a bird. Okay, the bird in the Bible is always referring to evil. And so here, when we see that a basket full of bread and the birds are eating away at it, that is interpreted by Joseph as that Pharaoh is going to hang you. Okay, the butler was doing what? Grape, wine, right? Here we have a bread. What does that speak to you of? The communion, right? It's talking about the communion. What does it, when I just told you about remember me, what did God say about the communion? Do this in my remembrance. What are we remembering when we do a communion? We are remembering what took place on the cross, what took place at the Calvary, right? And two of the my biggest pet peeve, and I never fail to mention, and I know some of you must be tired by now hearing me talk about this, right? But when it comes to baptism and when it comes to communion, we have so much false teaching, especially in our community, so much false teaching, right? Because sometimes somebody will tell you that we cannot perform a communion because I'm not a pastor. But somebody who's supposed to be a teacher of the word and says that, that's a big problem, because that means you don't understand what a communion means. You know, you do not have to be a pastor. You can, to give a communion, okay? We can have a communion right now. We can have a communion every day on our dining table if we wanted to. Because what are we doing? We are breaking the bread and remembering what God did. What did he do? He hung on the cross. He took our sins. He died for us. He was in the grave for 3 days, and then he rose on the third day. And in that resurrection, we have eternal life. On the cross, we have the forgiveness of the sin. What was Jesus doing when he celebrated the communion? He was celebrating a Passover. What does that speak of? That speaks, right, of that first Passover in the land of Egypt, when God freed them, right? Just like in Egypt, right? On that day when the angel of death moved around and he saw the blood on the doorpost, right? He surpassed that home and he went to the next one. Just like that, when we remember what Jesus has done, and because of what he has done on the cross, the death surpasses us. Death bypasses us, and we have an eternal life. And that is what we are doing in a remembrance of. Right? That is what we are remembering. That's the communion. Okay, that's the communion. And then sometimes people bring up, the Corinthians and what Paul speaks of, that you need to examine yourself. And what that simply says is, are you born again or not? Have you taken part in that Passover? Because if you haven't, and if you continue to take communion, and if you are not born again, then you are bringing condemnation on yourself. Because you are acknowledging, by taking the communion, you are acknowledging that Jesus died for you, that he hung on the cross for you, and that he was resurrected, yet you do not accept him as a savior. And that's something that sends you to death. Okay, here, a baker and a butler, kind of representing the communion. Okay, another similarity let me give you. Here, we have a Joseph in the prison, and two people around him, right? How many thieves were hanging with Jesus? Two thieves, right? If you go to Isaiah 53, it clearly says it over there. But let's, in interest of time, let's go ahead. Now it came to verse 20. Now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed a cup in Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. You know, this is a very, very important thing to remember, that do you remember God in all that you do? You know, there is too often when we have some issue in our life. You know, maybe a loved one is sick. You know, maybe there is a death. You know, something like this COVID pandemic is going on. We all turn to God. You know, we are praying and we are worshiping and we are doing all of these things. As that trouble goes away, we, like this butler, forget all about it. Do you remember God in all that you do? It is very important that we understand this, right? But as we close this chapter, I wanna speak to all of you, right? And I just wanna remind you one more time. I know I'm preaching to a choir. I know all of you guys are very well versed in the Bible. You know, many of you probably teach this Bible study better than me, right? But do we understand and do we trust God with our life? Do we trust his plan for our life? You know, that's very important. And there are three things that we need to remember, okay? You know, we want to believe God. We want to believe that God has a plan for us. But we want all the details. God, when are you going to do this? Now I am 25 years old. I was supposed to be married by 25. Please tell me your plan. Please tell me your plan. Tell me your plan. What are you going to do? How are you going to work it out? Many times, as a prayer, in our prayers, we direct God, right? We direct God. We tell him exactly what to do and how to do it. Exactly how to do it. Okay, we say, God, I want a job, I want a six-figure salary, I don't want more than 20-minute, I don't want more than 20-minute commute, you know, and I want a promotion every year, and we are directors, right? We don't need all the details, just trust the plan of God, okay? Just trust the plan of God. The other thing I want to remind you is, the circumstances cannot foil, okay, God's plan. No matter what your circumstances are, okay, if God has promised and if God has a plan for you, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It could look like the darkest night, okay? You could have a diagnosis where there is no cure. Whatever the case might be, the circumstances has nothing to do with God's plan, because God can make his plan happen regardless of your circumstances. You know, and we have seen that here in our in this room as we speak, we have seen this being played out in our own life. It doesn't matter what it looks like right now. Just trust God. At the end, it will work out. Joseph here is in the prison, right? He doesn't have all the details. He doesn't know how God is going to use this dream to bring him into a place where he's going to rule Egypt, right? We don't need to know all the details. The prison does not define you. Joseph was in a prison that does not define you, right? And the other thing that I want to remind you as we close this Bible study, your failing has no bearing on God's plan. You know, we are very unfaithful. We mess up all the time. We backslide, okay? We don't trust. We act out in doubt instead of acting out in faith, right? Look at Abraham and Sarah, what they did, right? They tried to resolve a promise in their own understanding. But no matter how badly we mess up, we cannot mess up the plan of God. We cannot mess up the God of plan. Are you ready to trust God with your life? Whatever it is, maybe it is the children, maybe it is your own life, maybe it is your health, maybe it's your marriage, whatever it is. Are you ready to let God handle everything in your life? Do you trust His plan for your life? And you know, every one of us who has accepted Christ, every one of us who has made Him a Lord and a Savior of our life, we ultimately know what our plan is, right? What we, you know, what is we know the end game, right? We are all getting eternal life. All of these things that we are doing right now on this earth, the work and the kids and the marriage and all of the things, is just details. We know what is going to end up, what's going to happen at the end, right? And all we need to do is just trust Him that He is going to get us there. And if you happen to be the person who's listening and who has not yet surrendered their life to Jesus, right? All the uncertainty, right? All the fear and all the worry, everything can be just taken away from you in a moment's notice. All you need to do is take a leap of faith, right? Or a step of faith. I don't want to say leap of faith because there is a big theology behind that. I want to say take a step of faith, okay? Because you're not leaping blindly. You know exactly who you are believing in. And if you trust Him, if you accept Him as your Savior, then you are promised an eternal life. You know, as we go into this Christmas season, and I want to ask all of you know, right, that Jesus loves you, right? Trust Him. Jesus loves you. You know, all of you know that Jesus loves our children more than we do, right? And He's worried more about, He is more concerned about each and every lost one than we are. He has a burden. Just remember that He loves you. Let's pray. Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank You and praise You for the life of Joseph and an amazing example that He has set for us, Lord. Lord, help us to be faithful like Joseph, Lord. If any of us are acting in doubt, Lord, or are walking away from faith, Lord, I pray that You convict us, Lord. And I pray that we show some fortitude in our faith, Lord. Help us to stay strong, Lord. Use us, Lord. Wherever You have us, help us to remember that You are with us. And whatever that we are, Lord, it is because of Your grace and because of Your mercy, Your abundant mercy, we have all the material blessings that we have in our life, Lord. So we thank You for Your provisions, Lord. We thank You for Your protection, Lord. And we just ask that You use us for Your glory and for Your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen.